This week's newsletter looks at an analysis of P2P traffic experienced by a typical full node, Summarize, is research into LN pathfinding, and describes a new approach for creating probabilistic payments. Also included are our regular sections summarizing a Bitcoin Core Peer Review Club meeting, announcing new releases and release candidates, and describing notable changes to popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects news. P2P traffic analysis. Developer Virtu posted to Delving Bitcoin an analysis of the network traffic generated and received by his node in four different modes. Initial block download IBED. Non-listening outbound connections only. Non-archival pruned listening and archival listening. Although the results for his single node may not have been representative in all cases, we found several of his discover is to be interesting. High block traffic as an archival listening node. Virtu's node served several gigabytes of blocks each I, or to other nodes, when operating as a non-pruned listening node. Many of the blocks were older blocks being requested by incoming connections, so that they could perform IBD. High inv traffic as a non-archival listener. About 20% of total node traffic was in messages before he enabled serving of older blocks. Erlay may significantly reduce that 20% overhead, which represented about 100 megabytes a day. Bulk of inbound peers appear to be spy nodes. Interestingly, the bulk of inbound peers exchange only around 1 MB of traffic with my node, which is too low using traffic via my outbound connections. As baseline for them to be regular connections, all those nodes do is complete the P2P handshake and politely reply to ping messages. Other than that, they just suck up our inv messages. Virtus. Post contains additional insights and multiple charts illustrating the traffic experienced by his node. Research into single-path LN pathfinding. Sindhura Saraswathi posted to Delving Bitcoin about research she conducted with Christian Kumal about finding optimal paths between LN nodes for sending payments in a single part. Her post describes the strategy is currently used by Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, and LND. The authors then use 8 modified and unmodified LN nodes in a simulated LN network based on a snapshot of the actual network to test pathfinding, evaluating criteria such as highest success rate, lowest fee ratios, lowest cost, shortest total time lock, least bad worst case waiting period, and shortest path least likely to result in a stuck payment. No algorithm performed better than the others in all cases, and Saraswathi suggests that implementations provide better weighting functions that allow users to choose the trade-offs they prefer for different payments, e.g., you may prioritize a high success rate for a small in-person purchase, but prefer a low fee ratio for paying a large monthly bill that isn't due for a few more weeks. She also notes that although beyond the scope of this study, we note that the insights gained in this study are also relevant for future improvements in multi-part payment pathfinding algorithms. Probabilistic payments using different hash functions as an XOR function. Robin Linus replied to the Delving Bitcoin thread about probabilistic payments with a conceptually simple script that allows two-part is to each commit to an arbitrary amount of entropy that can later be revealed and XORed together to produce a value that can be used to determine which one of them receives a payment. Using and slightly extending Linus is example from the post, Alice privately chooses the value 100 plus a separate non-C. Bob privately chooses the value 110 plus another separate non-C. Each party successively hashes their non-C, with the numbers in their value determining which hash function is used. When the value on the top of the stack is 0, they use the hash 160 opcode. When the value is 1, they use the SHA 256 opcode. In Alice's case, she performs SHA-256, hash-160, hash-160, Alice non-C. In Bob's case, he performs SHA-256, SHA-256, hash-160, Bob non-C. This produces a commitment for each of them, which they send to each other without revealing either their value or their non-C. With the commitments shared, they create an on-chain funding transaction with a script that will validate the inputs using OPIF to choose between the different hash functions and allows one of them to claim the payment. For example, if the sum of their two XORed values is 0 or 1, Alice receives the money. If it's 2 or 3, Bob receives it. The contract may also have a timeout clause and a space-saving mutual agreement clause after the funding transaction confirms to a suitable depth, Alice and Bob disclose to each other their values and their non-says. The ZOR of 100 and 110 is 010, which sums to 1, allowing Alice to claim the payment. Bitcoin Core PR Review Club, in this monthly section, we summarize a recent Bitcoin Core PR Review Club meeting, highlighting some of the important questions and answers. Click on a question below to see a summary of the answer. From the meeting, stricter internal handling of invalid blocks is a PR by MSUMS, and that improves the correctness of two non-consensus, critical and expensive to calculate validation fields by immediately updating them when a block is marked as invalid. Prior to this PR, these updates were delayed until a later event to minimize resource usage. However, since Bitcoin Core 20.5717, an attacker would need to invest much more work to exploit this. Specifically, this PR ensures that Chainstate Manager's mBest header always points to the most work header not known to be valid, and that a block's block failed child and status is always correct. Which purpose S does Chainstate Manager mBest header serve? mBest header represents the most POW header the node has seen so far, which it hasn't yet invalidated but also can't guarantee to be valid. It has many uses, but the main one is to serve as a target to which the node can progress its best chain. Other use cases include providing an estimate of the current time and an estimate of the best chain's height when requesting missing headers from a peer. A more complete overview can be found in the -6-year-old pull. Request Bitcoin Core 16974. Prior to this PR, which of these statements are true, if any? 1. A C block index with an invalid predecessor will always have a block failed child and status. 2. A C block index with a valid predecessor will never have a block failed child and status statement. 1 is false and directly addressed in this PR. Prior to this PR, accept block would mark an invalid block as such, but for performance reasons not immediately update its descendants as such. The review club attendees could not think of a scenario where statement 2 was false. One of the goals of this PR is to ensure mBest header and the end status of successors of an invalid block are always correctly set. Which functions are directly responsible for updating these values? Set block failure flags is responsible for updating end status. In normal operation, mBest header is most commonly set via the out parameter in add to block index, but it can also be calculated and set via recalculate best header. Most of the logic in commit 4,100,495 validation in invalidate block, calculate mBest header right away implements finding the new best header. What prevents us from just using recalculate best header here? Recalculate best header traverses the entire mBlock index, which is an expensive operation. Commit 4,100,495 optimize. Is this by instead caching and iterating over a set of candidates with high POW headers? Would we still need the canned invalid descendants cache if we were able to iterate forwards i.e. away from the genesis block over the block tree? What would be the pros and cons of such an approach compared to the one taken in this PR? If C block index objects held references to all their descendants, we wouldn't need to iterate over the entire M block index to invalidate descendants, and consequently wouldn't need the canned invalid descendants cache. However, this approach would have significant downsides. First, it would increase the memory footprint of each C block index object, which needs to be kept in memory for the entire M block index. Second, the iteration logic would still be non-trivial since, while each C block index has exactly one ancestor, it may have no or multiple descendants. Releases and release candidates. New releases and release candidates for popular Bitcoin infrastructure projects. Please consider upgrading to new releases or helping to test release candidates. Eclair V0. 12. 0 is a major release of this LN node. It adds support for creating and managing Bolt 12 offers and a new channel closing protocol that supports RBF. It also adds support for storing small amounts of data for our peer-to-peer storage, among other improvements and bug fixes. The release notes mention that several major dependencies have been updated, requiring users to make those updates before deploying the new version of Eclair. Notable code and documentation changes. Notable recent changes in Bitcoin Core, Core Lightning, Eclair, LDK, LND, Libsec 2, 156K1, Hardware Wallet Interface HWI, Rust Bitcoin, BTC Pay Server, BDK, Bitcoin Improvement Proposals, BIPs, Lightning Bolts, Lightning Blips, Bitcoin Inquisition, and Binance. Bitcoin Core 30, 1407, add support for notarizing macOS application bundles and binaries by updating the detached secrete. SH script. The script now also signs standalone macOS and Windows binaries. The recently updated Signapple tool is used to perform these tasks. Eclair 3020.7 adds pathfinding functionality for blinded paths when generating Bolt 12 invoices by introducing the route blinding paths function, which computes a path from a selected initiating node to the receiver node, using only nodes that support blinded paths. The blinded path is then included in the invoice. Eclair 3007 adds a last funding locked TLV parameter in channel re-establish messages to improve synchronization between peers during channel splicing after a disconnect. It fixes a race condition where a node sends a channel update after receiving a channel re-establish but before splice locked, which is harmless for regular channels but could disrupt simple taproot channels that require non-C exchanges between peers. Eclair 2009.170.6 adds support for creating offers without additional plugins by introducing the createOffer command, which takes optional parameters for description, amount, expiration in seconds. Issuer and blinded paths first node ID to define an initiating node for a blinded path. In addition, this PR introduces the disable offer and list offers commands to manage existing offers. LDK 3608 redefines the CLTV claim buffer to represent twice the expected maximum number of blocks required to confirm a transaction, adapting to anchor channels where HDLC's claim transactions are delayed by NARP checksequence, Severify CSV time lock of one block. Previously, it was set to a single maximum confirmation period, which was sufficient for pre-anchor channels where HDLC claim transactions were broadcast alongside commitment transactions. A new MX blocks for conf constant is added as the base value. LDK 3620.4 enables funding key rotation after successful channel splices by applying a scalar tweak to the base funding key to obtain the channel's 2 of 2 multisig key. This allows a node to derive additional keys from the same secret. The tweak computation follows the Bolt 3 specification, but replaces per commitment point with the splice funding T's id to ensure uniqueness, and uses the revocation base point to restrict derivation to channel participants. LDK 3016 adds support for external projects to run functional tests and replace components like the signer by introducing an XTest macro. It includes a MUT global utility and a DIN signer struct to support dynamic test components like the signer exposes these tests under the externalized tests feature flag, and provides a test signer factory for creating dynamic signers. LDK 3006.120.9 improves logging of remote failures that can't be attributed or interpreted to provide more visibility into these edge cases. This PR modifies onion utils RS to log non-attributable failures that could disrupt sender operation, and introduces a decrypt failure onion error packet function for decryption handling. It also fixes a bug where an unreadable failure with a valid hash-based message authentication code HMAC was not properly attributed to a node. This may be related to allowing spenders to avoid using nodes that advertise high availability but fail to deliver. Asterisk BDK 1008.130.8 improves the clarity of the full scan and sync flow by adding a mandatory sync time to sync request and full scan request. Applying this sync time as the CNET property for unconfirmed transactions while allowing non-canonical CNewsletter 335 transactions to exclude a CNET timestamp. It updates TXUpdate. Scene adds to a hash set of T's, id U64, to support multiple CNET timestamps per transaction, and changes TXGraph to be non-exhaustive, among other changes.